Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Zedheads, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Ben.
And I'm Pake.
Pake! And this is The Cast of Us, episode 511.
On this episode, we are going through your feedback for The Last of Us, season 1, episode 6, Kin.
Kin, welcome, Pake.
Yeah, I'm
First
excited
time
to be
talking
here.
About, are you watching the show?
No, I've never seen it, no.
That would make it very odd.
Right. All right, and that was Pink, everybody.
So, bye, I'm out. No, absolutely. Yeah. I love it. I'm another one of the people who has played the games. They're some of my absolute favorite games that exist. And so I was kind of nervous about the adaptation at first, but then seeing Druckmann was involved, then the casting, which I've been fine with and happy with since the very beginning. Honestly, I think, you know, Pedro and Bella are awesome. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think I've been loving every single episode. It has been an incredibly faithful adaptation, more than I even expected. And the things that they are changing, I think, are only making it better for TV.
Yeah, they're doing it perfect because they honor the spirit of the game and even a lot of the exact beat-for-beat moments, especially the ones that are most powerful. But they're making little changes that make it perfect for TV because they're focusing on the emotions and even I was gonna compare something to the game, but they're just sort of making it make sense for TV in a way where if they had just done a fully straight adaptation, it wouldn't have made sense. I will say this, the game is you kill a lot of people, and if Joel had killed that many people in the show, we'd be thinking he was a psychopath right now.
Well, I think even like Neil Druckmann has said, like, this is an opportunity for him to do things he wanted to do in the game but never had the chance to do.
That too, yeah.
And there are things that he's doing for this series, like you mentioned, like that just wouldn't have worked for the game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things that work for the game won't work for television. So those are the things that he's not doing.
Yeah.
And it just works. It works out perfectly.
You could say, like, it's my impulse to say, now that's the way you do a game adaptation, which it really is. But also, this game is just probably one of the easiest games to adapt because I've said this before, but it was just such a great story already as a game, you know? It's not like you're trying to do Mario. Although I hope the Mario one is good too, coming out later this year.
Plan on seeing it.
Anything else you want to say, Pake, about the series or this episode in particular?
I don't know. It's hard to like really put into words like what my thoughts are other than just like
just
I've
loving
really
it.
Been loving it and enjoying it. Yeah,
as we go through the feedback, you'll probably get into more details about your responses to that stuff too. I know Ben has COVID, but he really wanted to talk about this episode. So what a
trooper.
That's dedication, man. And so you had some things you wanted to say in particular about this week's episode since you didn't get to talk about it yet.
Well, I mean, nothing like in particular, but like I loved the episode so much this week. You're right. Like I tested positive for COVID on Sunday and Monday just wasn't feeling it. And today I'm like, I just need the podcast to feel normal again. So yeah, so I had to do this, but there were so many elements of this episode that I really enjoyed. And unfortunately, I haven't had the opportunity to completely listen to the podcast coverage because I was supposed to be on that episode and had to pass, as I mentioned. But everything from like Joel's anxiety attacks to the scene in the bedroom with him and Ellie, there were so many perfectly done things about this episode that made me, even though it wasn't a high action episode like we got last week, I, you know what? I'm okay with it because
me too.
We've talked about it before, you know, even in making comparisons to The Walking Dead, that this is a story more about the people than the creatures or the zombies, whatever you want to call them now, whatever they are. So that's what they're giving us. And that's what's really engaging me more than anything else. You know, the moment where Joel saw Tommy and we saw... pure happiness from Joel for the first time. Like, that got me choked up. Like, this show, we're 6 episodes in and it's 5 for 6 on getting me choked up about something. Right. That to me is great storytelling.
Yeah.
It's great television.
Yes. I love that so much.
I had a thought about what you mentioned. Yeah. The no infected and how it's okay because of the story, but also, and you know, not to disparage Walking Dead because it was its own thing. You know, you don't want to compare too much, but yeah, I mean, we have a show with zombie-like creatures or infected monsters, whatever they are. If you want to make them effective and scary, then make sure when they show up, you're supposed to be scared. Because if they're all there all the time, you get desensitized to it. It's not a big threat.
Yeah.
But if it's actually scary when they do appear, then that will be effective.
Yeah. Show them when it matters.
Yeah. And I mean, I want to see them regularly. If they just never showed another one for the rest of the series, I'd be pretty disappointed. But right. I like that they vary it and they have a really good emotional episode like this. And the game is sort of similar. You're always fighting, but sometimes you're fighting people and not infected. So anything else, Ben?
No, I was just... you know, just such a big fan of this episode that I feel it's weird to say, like, I feel like we put out this schedule of who was going to be on what episode of the podcast well before the show even started. And I've been so lucky to be a part of like some of the best episodes of this season. And then I ended up missing out on this one, which I felt was like kind of karma catching up to me. Like, no, you deserve to step away and not get to talk about an episode this good.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to be on next week, which is called Left Behind. I won't say anything more about that, but if you played the game, you know what that is. Yeah. So I'm excited. But then I'm not on the one after that. And I'm pretty sure that's going to be pretty pivotal too. It's going to introduce a certain person.
Oh yeah.
So, I'm bummed to miss that, but then I get to be on the finale and that'll be awesome. Anyway, there's no news for this episode because nothing really has come out, but I kind of wish there was because I want to play our new thing that Eric came up with on the spot last week, which is this.
Infected news.
I'm going to play that every time. Now on.
The news this week is there's no news.
But I do. So our feedback, we still have a bunch, but it's getting a little bit less, which is to be expected as time goes on. I'm sure if there's like this, some mind blowing thing happens, we'll get more. But anyway, because we have a little extra room in this episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about some notes on listener feedback from last week, since I didn't get to be on. So there's been some commentary on how the show's so different from The Walking Dead that it's pointless to compare the two. Some of you guys have talked about that. And also, I know some, at least one or two of the listeners. And I just can't disagree with that more. I think you almost couldn't have two shows more similar than this. They're post-apocalyptic. They're about, you know, I mean, maybe technically the infected aren't zombies, but they are people who got bitten and then turned into monsters that want to hurt you. You know, I mean, that's pretty damn close. I think The Walking Dead is maybe not exactly as much, but almost as much more focused on the people than the zombies. You know, they do stick a zombie in at least every episode, but still, it's really about the characters and the people that show. And there's a lot of the same themes: survival, what makes life worth living, how far would you go to protect the ones that you love, can you come back from the dark things that you did. You know, there's so many similarities. I mean, that's kind of why I knew that our audience would like this show, because it's got the same tone, I think, you know, or very similar tone anyways. I think the main things that are different is that this is a focus on two characters more than a big cast, and they're on a trip going somewhere versus in the same place. And also, of course, it's got HBO money behind it, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I think the writing is probably more consistently better than The Walking Dead, even though The Walking Dead definitely had its moments for sure. And, you know, the whole fungus thing is really fascinating and cool. And even this last episode, you know, there's that whole thing about we are the Walking Dead in the comic, at least the theme of not just surviving, but living. And I think, you know, Joel is kind of waking up to that right now. Before he met Ellie, for the last 20 years, he's been the Walking Dead. He's been numb to life. And as Tommy says to him something like, you know, just because you stop living doesn't mean I have to. And now Joel's sort of reclaiming his humanity through his feelings, through Ellie and everything. And so, that's what I think. I mean, I just think I'm going to keep comparing it. I don't want it to be all about that or do it too much, but comparisons are going to come up. It's,
well,
for me,
I think just to kind of defend like the thought of that. Yeah. I mean, it's, I'm not saying it's not a fair thing to do to make the comparisons between the two, because you're absolutely right. These are two shows that are so similar in so many ways, but shine on their differences as well. And I feel like it's okay when we first started discussing this show to make those comparisons, but now that the story is starting to flesh out with these two characters and these other side characters that we're meeting, I feel like it's kind of not a fair shake to The Last of Us to do it every episode. Like, we should let this show become what it's going to become, and even, you know, does that make a lot of sense?
I mean, I think we can do both, because I am so in love with this show and I appreciate
me too.
It. And and if I err in any way when I make these comparisons, it's not being nice enough to The Walking Dead, which I know some of our listeners probably aren't too happy about. And
we're not comparing it to Fear. We're comparing it to The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And but it's hard not to have those in your head, because you covered that show for over a decade.
Yeah,
like, it's hard not to have it.
I mean, but I'm not comparing The Walking Dead to Poker Face on that podcast, you know? I mean, it's easy not to do it over there. But here, it is harder, because they are so similar, I think.
I mean, but what show wouldn't be better with a little more Natasha Lyonne? I mean, it's
that's true.
True.
But Paik, you made a good point, too. Like, and that's something that I don't think I'm really considering looking at the perspective, is that you're right. Jason and Lucy and everybody else who was part of The Walking Dead covered that show for 11 years.
Yeah.
It's so ingrained in you that it's hard. Yeah. And I mean, I've been a part of episodes of that series too, just not nearly as many as you have. So yeah, that's right. It's so ingrained in you that it's difficult to shake that, and it's
I don't want to. I enjoy it, but I also don't want it. I mean, I think we've done it just very little, you know. I mean, probably right now is the most I've talked about it so
yeah,
far.
That's true.
Another thing, listener Morgan called in and had a voice message about Joel and Kathleen, Melanie Linsky's character, being similar because they both lost someone they cared about and became callous to the world. And I just wanted to say I really thought that was meaningful, and I totally agreed with it. That one stood out to me for some reason. Another call, Laura Willie Swink, our good friend, called in, and I love that she called the infected cordizeds. That was kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the last thing I had to mention is, in the news section, you mentioned this article where the crew and the actors are not allowed to say the Z word on set. And I think definitely that sort of showcased that these aren't zombies. But I also have to point out that the main point in the article was they wanted the focus to be on the people and not the monsters.
Of course you will find the counter to that article.
But I think, you know, really, you guys were right about that. All right. So with all that said,
can I say one thing about the feedback from last week too?
Yeah.
I just want to I want to call out and personally thank David. Is it Frise?
I think that's right. Yeah,
I think Frise. That's his last name. Because the previous week he forgot to mention me in the cast.
Oh yeah.
And then he corrected it last week with an apology, and that made me. Yeah. I was in my car listening, and that made me smile. So,
right.
I wanted to thank that, and there's no reason to say sorry.
I just thought it was weird he forgot to mention Rima on that second call. Why wouldn't you mention Rima, David? Just kidding. He did mention Rima. Just wanted to freak him out a little bit. All right. That's good. Let's get into listener screams, snarls, and clicks.
Click, click. I'm a zombie guy.
That never gets old.
Love it.
All right. Paik, would you like to go first?
All right. The first one from Bianx Vargas. what the fudge?
I think that's probably about the ending, which we won't talk too much about.
Steve Barr says, this week on Yellowstone, which is pretty accurate.
I haven't seen Yellowstone, but I can imagine.
I haven't either, but I know it's like set in that kind of environment.
Old West kind of feel. Yeah, I really do want to watch that, but now it's starting to feel like one of those shows that's like Supernatural or something. It's like its own universe now and overwhelming, you know, too much to catch up on. But I'm
it's
curious.
Good.
Yeah, you like it?
Yeah.
The Yellowstone Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, it really kind of is, man.
There's already like two spinoffs and more.
And there's two
planned.
More coming. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what you mean. Yeah, two more coming. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Erica N. Ferder, our good friend, says Joel was a protector to those he loved, Sarah, Tommy, Tess, and now Ellie is learning to be his protector. And that's a really good point because he needs it sometimes. She saved his life.
Yeah. Yeah. He was even mentioning how like major that was for him to Tommy, where he's like, it was a shift in his whole mental area. He's like,
yeah,
I'm failing, and she had to be there for me. Right. Yeah,
he's just losing it.
The next one comes from Erica Land, says, does anyone else think we saw Dina a couple times in this episode? The girl staring at the group while Joel and Ellie were eating their meal. She was also sitting by Ellie during the movie. I don't want to dive into that too much without spoilers, but possibly.
Yeah, I mean, there's a character that is from later that possibly could have been, and mm-hmm. on the official podcast they said maybe it was, but they didn't confirm it.
They didn't confirm it on the official podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he was like, I love you guys for pointing that out, but I won't give you an answer.
Yeah, well, I thought the same thing when I watched the episode too, when I saw the girl in the back. Same. I was like, oh, is that who I think it might be?
That's cool. I need to go back and watch because I wasn't thinking that.
It's funny that I noticed her, but I didn't notice the crew that was in the background of one of the scenes.
Right.
Mark McBurney, really solid episode. Loved all the interactions, whether it was Joel and Tommy or the old couple in the cabin. I'm a little sad they didn't take the bow. Looking forward to next week, too, as this may be my favorite part of the game.
Yeah. That couple was so good. I love them so much.
Yeah.
Melissa Silvestri says, love this episode, but I've got a nitpick that bugged me. Joel and Ellie ride into camp on horses, which I went back and looked. They were each on their own horse, but no one rides back double. Where do the two extra horses come from? That bugged me so much. I had to stop and rewind to see if I missed something. So I went and looked at this.
Yeah. I looked for it too, but I didn't put too much attention into it.
Yeah, it's hard to tell for sure, but I'm pretty sure when you see, so this is Joel and Ellie out in the wilderness and all of Tommy and Maria's guys come up on horseback. And I think you see the guy with the sniffing dog on foot. So to me, that says that maybe a couple of other guys just walked back, you know, that they let Joel and Ellie take their horses and they just walked back. I don't know. I mean, that would be kind of dumb, though, huh? Why not just ride double? But whatever. That's my
Or they might have stayed out on a foot patrol.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
In Marvel Comics, there's this thing called a no prize, where if a writer made a mistake, then you could write in and give an in-story explanation for it that would make sense. You'd get a no prize, which basically, I think, meant nothing. But anyway, that's kind of what I feel like this is.
My Almordini says, they better not be pulling a Ned Stark on us here. Great episode again. Bella Ramsey is phenomenal. Their acting is superb. I thought the menstrual cup was a genuine way to get through the apocalypse. Are we sure two men are writing this show?
Well, Craig Mazin has a daughter who's the one who sang that cover of Never Let Me Down at the end.
Oh, I didn't know that. So,
nice. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, isn't it? He talked about it on the podcast. He was like, on the official podcast, he was like, yeah, I asked my daughter, she's such a great singer. I said, can you make this song? And then a couple of weeks passed and I was like, where is it? And she goes, I forgot about it. And he's like, I'm giving you a chance to be on TV here. And, okay, dad. And then she did it and it was great.
That's awesome. And I think if they were pulling a Ned Stark, I think Joel would be dead already, wouldn't he?
That's right. Yeah. Oh, or actually, I mean, not to get into too many details, but it would be in the final episode of the season.
Oh, for some reason, I thought I remembered it happening before the finale of that. But the first season of Game of Thrones is so far long ago. Yeah, I don't remember everything. Yeah. Kristen Crabtree, the old couple in the cabin is my hashtag life goals. I loved the Jackson community. I hope that the cave scene where Ellie took the watch and handed it back and handled it just fine is a foreshadowing of the first few minutes of the next episode. Joel taught her well, and she will be fine until he wakes up.
Fingers crossed, emoji. I didn't see her take the watch.
I'm wondering that. I don't remember seeing the cave scene.
Little detail. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
The cave scene when they're
resting for the night.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember her taking the watch, though. I missed that, too.
I need to watch this one more time. D. Savage, is that Dan Savage? Says, they freaking killed it down to the fucking music, which is the same from the game. Yep. In the scene where Ellie, same composer, everything, probably same performer. In the scene where Ellie talks about Sarah to Joel, this episode was perfect. Thank you, Neil and Craig, for the show. As someone who's played the game parts 1 and 2 several times, I love it. Also, that was definitely Dina.
Gemma Hall says, so great to see Retina Wesley. She was Tara in True Blood, and she was in Walking Dead in that weird child-killing Michonne episode. I thought the town of Jackson was beautiful and almost like a high-budget Alexandria. This episode felt very Western. So cool to see wild monkeys. I think there would be more free zoo animals wandering about, and Joel better be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the monkeys were so great. They did such a good job.
I was watching this episode. I kept seeing Maria, and I'm like, where? I know this actress from somewhere. Where do I know her from? And then about halfway through, it clicked that she was from True Blood.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I was a big fan of that show until the end, and so I recognized her pretty
quick. Yeah, I watched most of it, too.
She did a great job of playing a completely different character here.
Yeah.
So good job, Retina Wesley. All right, it's time for a couple of calls. Here's Darnell.
So this episode was amazing, episode 6. I loved it. That whole scene with Joel and Ellie in her room, and you have no idea what loss is. Like, for the first time in the show, it brought a tear to my eye watching it. I just was having flashbacks or intercutting between the video game and the show while that scene was playing. And the music, I believe, was the same music from the game in that scene. Like, the music was perfect. Everything was perfect. Their acting was great. Pedro's, his face when she said something about Sarah, the way it changed just slightly if you pay attention to his face. Like, the acting was amazing. Pedro crying, or Joel crying, talking to his brother about taking Ellie and how he's failed. Him admitting that he cares about Ellie. Like, everything was perfect. And also, that had to be Dina in the lodge who Ellie said something to. It had to be Dina. Like, there's no way that wasn't Dina. Anybody who knows the game knows that has to be Dina. And Dina talks about her backstory. Sorry, Jason, I know this is cutting into the game talk part. But Dina talks about her backstory in that. Anyways, this episode was amazing. I loved it. 10 out of 10 in my book. Have a great day, guys.
Where's your zombie sound? Come on, infected. We need some infected sounds, guys. Come on.
I was hung up when he said for the first time.
Me too.
Drew a tear, and I'm like, what kind of iron will do you have? You made it all the way this far.
When he said that, I was like, first time? I'm like, come on. I just admitted this is like the fifth time.
he hasn't watched any of the previous episodes.
Just kidding. He jumped right to this one.
Thanks, Darnell. Here's Jason from San Diego.
Hi, guys. It's Jason from San Diego calling to talk about episode 6 of The Last of Us. I just fell in love with this episode. I've watched it through a couple of times now already because just as soon as it ended, I was like, wow, I got to go back. Bella and Pedro, they played off each other so well in this episode. Really, really getting that family, almost father-daughter dynamic down just perfectly. I really, really enjoyed the older native couple that they encounter at the beginning. I could truly almost take an episode similar to 3 with some backstory on them and how they've got along for the past 20 years, you know, living on their own in the woods. Although it seems like they've probably lived out in the woods before then. This episode was gorgeous, cinematically, just shot beautifully. The mountainous scenes, the meadows, just the horses, it was all great. And then, like I said, with Joel and Ellie just playing off each other, it was an insane episode. I did have a question about a throwaway line. Seems like a throwaway line because I haven't really heard any discussion about it. Tommy asks about Tess. Joel tells him, you know, oh, she's fine. Back in Boston or something. Not quite sure what that accomplishes, if it's a lie, if it's, you know, Joel just not wanting to talk about it or protecting Tommy in some way. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. In any case, have a great day, and we are 1 month away from Yellow Jackets. Buzz, buzz, buzz. See ya.
Yeah, I think when Joel first showed up, he was being kind of guarded with Tommy, trying to be his usual role of Tommy's savior. I'm here to save you. And as time went on, he opened up and kind of became more vulnerable, and the cracks in his facade showed. But I think he was just trying to paint a picture of, I'm the guy who has it all together, everything's fine. So that's what I got out of why he said,
well, because even in that same conversation, he doesn't tell Tommy the truth about Ellie either. I mean, he's not really revealing anything. He's telling Tommy that she's the daughter of some firefighter,
big wig.
So he's not really being truthful to Tommy at all. And I think that's a combination of, one, both protecting Ellie, obviously, of her secret. And two, I think also being protective of Tommy at the same time. Because, like you said, he wants to protect Tommy. Mm-hmm. He's there to rescue Tommy. So why would he tell him about the torture that he's been through to that point?
Yeah, I think, he's just trying to put on a strong front kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Darnell had mentioned about being touched that Joel admits that he cares about Ellie, and that made me think, I think this episode, I don't know if I really articulated it last time, but it's pivotal for Joel, because up until now, he's been like, okay, Tess asked me to take Ellie, and so I'm doing this for Tess. And during all that time, they've developed this father-daughter dynamic, but neither of them wants to admit that. And here, to themselves or to each other, right? But here he makes the choice, even though he's telling Ellie in the stalls, the horse, what do you call it? You know, where the horses are.
Stable,
yeah. He's telling her, you deserve a choice. He's made that choice himself there. And I think that's a big deal, that now he's realized that, look, I'm choosing to take this on. I think that changes their relationship a little bit, because it's a more conscious choice, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, that's a really good point too. And I didn't even see it that way either until you just mentioned it, that you're right. Joel was the one that had to make the choice first in order for Ellie to be able to make the choice. I can tell you right now, like, one of the things about this episode, knowing where we were in the story, was, are we going to get that scene in the bedroom with Ellie and Joel?
Mm-hmm.
And the moment he walks into the bedroom and she's sitting there at the window reading the diary, I was like, oh, here we go.
Yep.
I'm like, this is it.
And again, I mean, I've said it before, but I love that they're taking the moments from the game that are just the most impactful and just putting them into the show, mm-hmm. whether it's a really touching moment like this or some scary moments too.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
All right, continuing on with the feedback, Jeff Lee Pagana from Dublin, Ireland says, hi, guys, long time The Walking Dead cast listener, second time the Cast of Us commenter. coming from your non-game playing base, as I do, I love your balanced approach, leaving the game talk towards the end of your pods. Please keep it up. Loads of takes from this week's episode, but your show covered most of it. Just one observation on the Jackson commune. I couldn't help but imagine a Lance Hornsby-hosted introductory video. Jackson, come for the Christmas trees, stay for the bacon.
That's awesome. They need to get that bacon going first, and then they can do it. Yeah. I can't imagine what Lance Hornsby, they'd be setting him straight. Like, dude, this is communist. Stop it.
I loved that line too in the episode. yeah, it is.
Tommy realizes he's
Tommy's
in
face.
A
he's like,
society.
Oh no.
Oh, crap. What did I get myself into? That was so good. Such great writing. Jeremy Sanderlin says, a handful of thoughts from episode 6 that look Ellie gave in the scene where Joel showed genuine affection by embracing his brother gave me the impression that she was not just surprised, but also kind of jealous or worried that they're going to take her place or something or affect their relationship somehow. The scene where they first go to the horse stables and Ellie was introduced to Shimmer tugged a bit at my heart because I'm in the middle of playing part 2 of the video game. A little bit spoiler there. That's okay.
All right. This one comes from Alicia Stout. Says, another fantastic episode. Confession. I just started a rewatch of True Blood today on HBO. So when I saw Rutina Wesley appear in this episode, I could not have been more excited. I love Tara. I hope she and Tommy get to stick around for more than one episode. LOL. Fingers crossed emojis. Glad you liked my sheet metal joke last week. Damn, it was funny.
Yeah, I liked her character in True Blood a lot, too.
That damn also reminds me of the other line from this week's episode that I loved. I don't know what it was. I think it was more just Bella Ramsey's delivery, but like when they walked up and she's just like, damn, I was hysterical. I was like, that's so stupid that it's funny.
I know, because I didn't get it at first. I didn't even hear it on first watch, second watch. It got me. I was like, oh my God. But I think that's what Alicia had in mind, Ben, actually.
Classic.
Oh, that's probably what she had. Damn, it was funny. Okay. Mm-hmm. Diane Ryan. This isn't quite the show I thought it was going to be. There aren't infected at every corner waiting to attack them like in The Walking Dead, but it's much more a tale of the society. It's not that I don't like it, but I'm having to alter my expectations. I enjoyed this week's episode, although it seemed to be on fast forward the way it whizzed through everything. I haven't played the game, but I can imagine Joel won't survive.
And I'm going to go ahead and read Nils because he responded, Nils Cordes. Exactly how I feel. I actually think the show's great, but the way it jumps ahead in time doesn't give audiences a chance to linger with characters. It feels like an anthology. I've said this somewhere else, but as long as I don't compare it to The Walking Dead, which I still can't help but do, I'm enjoying it a lot. From a technical perspective, this is definitely the superior show. But just looking at the story, The Last of Us so far seems, I don't know, shallow in comparison. Then later he said, kept thinking about this. Shallow is the wrong word, but the whole plot feels a bit thin. It's just the old-fashioned quest plot. I keep waiting for someone to raise the stakes or introduce a twist. I think it is another difference from The Walking Dead is the pacing. They keep skipping ahead, you know, and if they're getting through story maybe faster, for sure. But as far as it being shallow, it is a simple story. We've always said that about The Last of Us.
Yeah, you said that from the beginning, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really want to say much else to those comments, though, without spoiling anything for the future of this season. You know, so I'll just leave it at that. But yeah, I mean, you know, we talked a little bit about the comparisons from The Walking Dead. And, you know, like Diane said, going into it thinking it's going to be another Walking Dead, you're going to be surprised, but hopefully it's pleasantly surprised.
I mean, really, the nuances of this story are about Joel and Ellie's emotional journey and how their relationship changes over the course of the season. And if you're not into that kind of thing and you want more plot twists and stuff, then it's not going to be as satisfying for you. I love that kind of stuff, but yeah. I understand if people want more like plot twists and stuff, that's not really what this show is. All right. Here is a call from Steve Brown.
Hello, the cast of Us. This is Steve, and this is for The Last of Us, episode 6. Oh, 3 months later, how far have they gotten? Is that Graham Greene? Ellie doesn't do what she's told. They're Firefly people. Take one of their rabbits that he, one of the rabbits that he just caught. Okay, so Joel's dream is a sheep ranch. You're telling her to wake you up, but really, you gave her that look of pride, that nod of, yeah, I can see you're capable now. Okay. Okay, they found an intact bridge to cross, but I guess, okay. I would have thought that would be the perfect place for an ambush. I've never been able to whistle that thing, like, through your fingers. I just do it with my mouth. My teeth. Oh, these cowboy hat guys do not look pleasant. Uh-oh, what is the dog going to smell on Ellie? Ooh, that was tense. So she's okay. Wait, so they had two extra horses with them? I don't understand. Be riding with somebody? Look on Ellie's face like she thinks this is the end of the road now that Joel has found Tommy. As soon as I saw the wedding ring on his finger, I was like, oh, he's married to this girl. And they have sheep. Hey, wait, why did he just lie about Tess? How? Tommy just admitted that they murdered people. Okay, so Ellie got some new clothes and some sort of pamphlet. I couldn't see what she was looking at with that pamphlet and whatever that plastic thing she was holding. Oh, so Joel never told Ellie about Sarah. Okay, I don't know what this movie is that they're watching, but obviously there's something going on underneath the scenes. Why is Ellie now out all alone while Joel is confessing everything to Tommy? Oh, Joel, Tommy's not the one that's supposed to take her. You are. Wow, how good is Bella Ramsey right now in this conversation with Joel? Oh, my goodness. Like, I believe every word. Like, I'd be safer with you. Oh, it's pulling my heartstrings. I still think you'd be better off with Tommy. Let's go. Okay, a supporting character who didn't die. We met Tommy again. His wife, his family, and Joel and Ellie are on their way away from them. The contractor. Uh-oh, so the Fireflies left and something was left behind.
Oh.
That knife to the gut, Joel. That's not good. Dang, and now we gotta wait a week. Ugh.
What? It wasn't a knife, was it? Like
the baseball
like
bat,
a baseball bat. Baseball
yeah.
bat.
It was it was the hilt of the hilt, the handle of the broken baseball bat. Was it ever figured out what movie they were watching?
Yeah, The Goodbye Girl. Okay, it's 1977. Richard Dreyfuss, and there's a theme of an older man being a father figure to a younger girl in it.
Okay.
Can either one of you do the whistle with the fingers? I can't.
No.
I can't.
I can't do the whistle through the fingers, and I can't do the whistling through my teeth. I just use my lips.
Yeah, I use my tongue and my upper palate. I can't. Let me see you do it with...
Like, that's just my lips and, like, my tongue up against my lips.
And then... Oh, there's something else you mentioned. I forgot what it was. Oh, well. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, that's great. All right. This one coming from Maria Lawson says, I loved the couple at the cabin. They were perfect. Maria Loki addressing Ellie's needs with that diva cup is something rarely, if ever, seen on TV, and I really appreciated it. Monkeys running around anywhere is terrifying, and I would have been immediately leaving that campus without further investigation. I'm not a game player, so I don't know anything about what Joel's future holds, but I feel like I heard you play as different people in different parts of the game, so that has me really worried he won't survive. Looking forward to what looks like more Ellie backstory next week, but I'm anxious to find out what happens to Joel too.
Yeah, they're going to do another one of those things where you have to wait. He's under the dumpster.
Maybe it was just me, but when Joel and Ellie go into the lab, they're following the noise and they go into the lab and they find the monkeys that were in there. I was like, Oh no, it's Jumanji.
That I was watching one of those. I don't know if you guys ever seen it, but Fail Army on YouTube. Where
I've seen some of
people
their stuff,
messing up. And there was one that was like monkey centered and just like lots of monkeys jumping on people and taking their food and stuff. And it's kind of adorable. But then there was that one woman who I think it was her pet just like took her face off, basically.
Yeah. Jeez.
So they can be really dangerous.
Pull the Travolta. Jess Jones, another heartbreaking episode, but in different ways, and I had such high hopes after the first 15 minutes where I actually chuckled a few times. I mean, more than I had in all episodes combined so far. I mean, more than the diarrhea and the jeans joke? Maybe I just liked the old couple too much. I thought they were adorable. Joel and Tommy's reunion got me in the feels. I teared up, and it surprised me. Because as a happy only child, I legit thanked my mom for never having more kids at a very early age. I never relate to that kind of stuff, and I don't usually care about siblings in shows or movies. Sorry, but I've had very poor examples of sibling dynamics over the years. This show is, well, I'm at a loss for words, frankly. It's just written and acted and executed so well, and I want to thank you guys for bringing it to my attention. I truly would have never even known about it if it hadn't been for the Walking Dead cast. You all rock. I was trying to keep this one short this week, so I'm just going to end it with, Joel better not be fucking dead. Yeah, shocked emoji, cry emoji, bawling emoji.
Now I remember what Steve said about Tommy made it to the end. That's what, because I could imagine, based on the pattern of the show, that people would be worried about Tommy, right? Because they just keep introducing a new character and killing them off. But now there's a possibility of Joel being gone. So that's there.
Well, I mean, if we stuck with patterns, it means all of this town is dead by the time Joel leaves.
Everyone. Episode 7 opens with Jackson on fire. Yeah, oh, no. What? Right. No.
And then they just cut to the next scene. Andrea Hatfield Olmsted says, great episode. Shout out to a Walking Dead star, Jocelyn. Ellie's mental state reminds me a lot of Sasha from The Walking Dead when they first got to Alexandria, how she saw things and how Ellie referenced in the book, this is what they have to worry about. Ellie's mental state is strong and courageous and understands what's going on around. So yeah, she's talking about how when you've been out and surviving and been in hell, and then you come into this town and they're like watching movies and eating popcorn, and Ellie reading the journal and being like, they just cared about whether their skirt matched with their shirt, which is another great moment from the game, by the way.
It's culture shock in the apocalypse, yeah, right?
Big time.
So this one comes from Julie from Kentucky, kind of a response to last week's episode. It says, good morning, Jason and Lucy and Rima and Ben and Eric. Okay, so the whole Sam and Henry thing didn't bother me as much because of, well, Sam and Henry from The Walking Dead. Could it be that I've seen so many characters turn then attack that I'm almost numb to it? Perhaps. I'm loving Ellie. What a smartass. Ain't nothing like a good sarcastic 14-year-old getting on the nerves of a worn-out, angry 50-year-old. I enjoyed the scene where the infected attacked. That was intense. I liked how the strength of the bloater was shown by twisting and ripping the guy's head off like a bottle cap. Also, is anyone else yelling at the screen telling these people to be quiet when they enter a building and they need to clear it first? You may have already addressed that as I'm behind on listening to the podcast.
No, I think that's a good point. I've
right.
thought that a couple of times because they made it such a big deal out of being really quiet in the episode with the clickers.
So, yeah. Poor Perry.
Yeah.
he's the one whose head was a bottle cap.
I don't remember if you guys talked about it in the game section or not of that episode, but the way that I feel like you probably did, but yeah, the way that Perry was killed was like the way that Joel died a million times in the game whenever you deal with the bloater. Yeah.
You mean the way that we all died as playing yeah. Joel?
Yeah. All of us playing, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
To watch Joel die a million times.
Oh, it's such a traumatic experience. God. All right, let's play a couple more calls. Here's Archmaester Rennie.
Hello, Cast of Us hosts. So last week after the episode, I noticed that my toes were itching and I realized I was getting athlete's foot, which is a fungus. And I thought, oh shit. So I diligently applied antifungal powder and the itching stopped and now I'm completely fine. And I was able to watch this week's episode. And I have to say that Joel said twice, we'll leave at sunup. And I was so worried that before sunup, that functional town would get attacked and wiped out and there would be a disaster. Because it's so rare that we see a pocket of civilization of a sort thriving in the apocalypse. And I really didn't want it to get attacked and wiped out. So I was really glad that it didn't. And I'm really wondering what's happening next with Joel and Ellie. So I'll see you for the next episode.
That's hilarious.
So what I'm hearing is we just need antifungal powder and the cordyceps problem is taken care of, right?
Yeah, or maybe it's that athlete's foot gives you echolocation. It's pretty cool.
The solution to the apocalypse is tenactin.
All right, let's hear from Robin Springer.
Hey guys, it's Robin. Hopefully this will be quick. Tuesday night, I lost track of the time. But what a trip it was. What a treat to see Kicking Bird and Marilyn in the show this week. I had seen Graham Greene recently in 1883, but I hadn't seen Elaine Miles since Northern Exposure. So long, long time. And of course, they stole the show. They were fabulous. The thing that I was really thinking about a lot during this episode was the amount of work that the actors did with the tiny muscles in their faces. When the woman said, I scared him, the look on Joel's face, the fear was actually seemed really real. Ellie did a lot with her face when they first arrived at the settlement, and you know her sadness and jealousy when she saw Joel with his brother, and I think there was a little fear in there too. And then you know, they brought so much extra meaning and depth to what they were saying with their faces, more than usual, I think, in this episode. And of course, Joel crying and showing how vulnerable and scared he really is was really a lot. And then of course, Ellie crying and being so scared and vulnerable at the end was pretty hard to take too. But anyway, I'm looking forward to the podcast. I'll probably listen to it in the morning. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye, Robin. It's great getting your calls, by the way, every time.
You made them soup?
Yeah, we mentioned... There, that's Kicking Bird from Dances with Wolves and Marilyn from Northern Exposure.
I wasn't familiar with her. Graham Greene, I've seen in...
Graham Greene, yeah, he's been in a million things. He's always awesome.
Yeah, they were so good.
All right, continuing on with the feedback, the next one comes from Lisa Edmondson-Walker. I wasn't expecting them to find Tommy in an oasis in Wyoming or to see people actually enjoying a pretty comfortable existence anywhere in this world. Seeing Graham Greene and Elaine Miles was a treat. They were pretty good comic relief in the cabin. I loved him asking his wife if she was honest with them and then if she's being honest with him. Joel finally really opening up to Tommy and Ellie learned more about how much Joel had lost thanks to Maria. I would have cried about Joel collapsing from the horse, but I'm thinking he's got to be around longer. I felt really bad for Ellie, truly terrified about being alone and not knowing what to do for Joel and completely losing her tough exterior. Really shouldn't have pulled out that embedded bat, dude. Next week's episode has me intrigued already from the preview. I won't say more for sake of those that try to avoid any hint of what's to come. Really strong episode again.
Yeah, probably not smart to pull it out.
You should know you impaled. Don't pull anything out when you've been impaled.
I thought about that too. Like when I saw the bat in his abdomen, I was like, don't touch it. Don't touch it.
But then what do? You wait till you have bandages?
Go back to Jackson.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You wait till you have somebody who can apply pressure and bandages and clean the wound and get out. Like when there's medical.
That's what it's about is having constant pressure, right?
Yeah.
Bandages. Yeah.
Although Tommy said it was a week's ride? To the college, so it would have been another wouldn't have made it.
No, I'm not asking I'm just saying, what do you do in the case of a wound like that? You have to pull a thing out and then immediately bandage it, I guess.
Oh, right? Yeah. I'm just saying they would have, my idea of going back to Jackson would not have worked.
Sure. Maybe it will. Who knows? All right. Wyman Owen says, so much happened on here for me. The cabin at the beginning had me laughing right away. Great interactions there. And it took 6 episodes. But when Joel and Ellie were riding into Jackson and he saw Tommy and called out to him, I had tears well up. So he was another one that...
Another one that took six episodes?
Strong, Will.
Come on.
I hadn't cried up until that moment. Maybe something about my own estranged relationship with my own brother. I don't know. Yeah, that'll do it.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
I definitely got me in the feels this week. Moving on, although there were a few key game moments for me, I think I took the gameplay out of this episode and just enjoyed it for what it was, a show. The settings were amazing. Sunsets, northern lights, horseback riding, Jackson, all superb. I agree. I'm looking forward to the last three episodes for what I know from the game. The excitement for me is not knowing how the story will be told to us on TV. Love the show. Love the podcast. Y'all add to the enjoyment of the show. Keep rocking it. Endure and survive. Thanks, you know, Wyman.
Maybe it's not that they're strong-willed, Paik. Maybe it's just that you and I are emotional saps.
Just big softies. Yeah. Which is also very likely true.
Yeah.
I mean, that Frank and Bill episode. God. How could you? Mm-hmm. I do not tear up.
Yeah, me and Ben will talk to each other all the time about being like, how many times we've cried at different movies and stuff. So not afraid of it. Not ashamed.
I'm not ashamed of it at all.
This one comes from Chicho Puthia. It says, amazing episode. Bella and Pedro have such good chemistry. We're watching a father-daughter relationship blossom in front of our eyes. I have two amazing sons, but this episode made me wish I had tried for a daughter as well. And those Sarah flashbacks were just beautiful, but heart-wrenching. All that being said, man, they leave us in a messed up situation. What's going to happen? I guess we'll have to wait a couple weeks to find out. Next week looks like Ellie backstory. I gotta be real on one thing. Tommy should have gone with Joel as backup. I get that his wife is expecting, but I don't think Joel would have left Tommy hanging like that if the tables were turned. Joel would probably not have gotten stabbed if Tommy was there and had his back. I guess there is terrible history between those two, so I don't understand. Not to mention how precious the cargo is. I mean, it is literally the fate of humanity. Thoughts? Do you guys agree or disagree?
It's an interesting point, for sure. Yeah. I think maybe at least Tommy could have offered to send a couple of guys along.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I
guess he's trying to keep it pretty discreet, though, as far as Ellie's situation.
Yeah, but still, could have said, and also she's important.
Yeah, that and also seeing what happened to Sam and Henry, which are two people that he invited along for the ride, and they didn't make it very far. I don't think he wants to put that on anybody else.
That's different. Sam and Henry don't have any experience.
That's true.
You know,
yeah,
could have sent some fighters. I hear what you're saying, but it's true. She's important. And, you know, Marlene did the same thing. She's like, all right, you're going to go with these two people who I know can handle themselves, but don't tell them what it's about. So they could have tried that with some of Tommy's people.
Yeah.
But then we wouldn't have this. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's all about the story.
Yeah. But it also sounds like Tommy and his people kind of have some bad blood with the Fireflies, too. So maybe not running them right into the middle of that.
That's true. Good point.
Yeah. All right. Laura Willie Swink. What a beautiful episode, both emotionally and visually. I was so thrilled to see Elaine Miles and Graham Greene. People loving those two. Two of my favorite characters from Northern Exposure bring some much needed levity to the opening scene. And I know we all love to see Pedro's luxurious locks, but damn, Joel, get a hat on. It's freaking cold out there. Loved seeing Joel and Tommy's reunion. It felt so real in its pain, relief, and joy. Loved the scenes of Joel and Ellie growing closer and Ellie learning about Sarah, though the Sarah scenes got me a bit weepy. Now, that magnificent mountain scenery was a character in itself. However, there is no university... there is no University of Eastern Colorado. I am guessing that is supposed to be Colorado State University in Fort Collins, Colorado, just about an hour from the Wyoming border, and my alma mater. So she would know. Lastly, Joel, don't pull out that shank. You'll bleed to death, my guy. P.S. Wonder how many guys were confused by the gift that Maria left for Ellie.
I had no idea what it was.
Me neither.
Had to learn about it. The more you know. All right. Thanks, Laura. Nathan Moa says, other than episode 3, this was easily my favorite episode so far. Those huge sprawling landscapes were just so beautiful. I just felt so at peace seeing the mountains. But I was simultaneously excited by what might be coming up over the next river. It was also so refreshing to see a post-apocalyptic landscape that was snowy. I agree. That was so cool. Especially since The Walking Dead only had the one moment of it. Although no hate on The Walking Dead at all. Still love that show like a firstborn child. And I mean, what kind of broke my heart about The Walking Dead is there were some really snowy moments in the comic that they just couldn't do in the show because it doesn't snow in Georgia.
Right.
So it really changed the feel of it. Or at least as far as I know, it doesn't. he goes on. Also, I just rewatched Twilight New Moon last week. Please don't judge me. Well, you're talking to the wrong
guy here. Judging
Ben's
hard.
Right over there judging. I don't judge you. I don't know anything about it. And Graham Greene is in that, so it was a great surprise seeing him in this. As others have already mentioned, there was also a perfect blend of raw, tough emotion and some solid as hell comedy. Loved it when they were in front of the hydro plant and Joel says to Ellie, "Don't ask because I don't have a clue." Felt like it was a callback to the fuel siphoning where Joel did his best to make up how it works, whereas now he's just being straight up. I was just going to say something about the game. Yep, you're right. And shout out to the amazing score. The shimmering, verbed out synths and strings were so perfectly matched the snowy landscape. What an awesome episode. So good. Oh, and on a side note, I love to make a band called Sheep Ranch on the Moon. Who's in? Yeah, Nathan's a musician. And by the way, mm-hmm. I was going to tell you this privately, Nathan, but I'll say it here. You sent me a link to some of your songs and I just didn't get around to listening. So I need to go do that. So I just didn't want Nathan to think I was rude and not telling him what I thought. I just haven't listened yet.
Yeah, I checked out some of his stuff on Spotify. I was listening to it. And actually, he was in San Francisco and we had that meetup.
Yeah.
Months ago, whatever. And I sat at a bar and talked to them about music for a little bit. So it was cool to have that conversation.
I was judging on the Twilight thing, but I will say now that Sheep Ranch on the Moon is an awesome band name. So I will forgive the Twilight aspect.
I'm in. I've been missing playing music. I'm in.
It sounds like Andy Dwyer.
I'm a horrible drummer, rancher. But Let's I can step in there and do my best. Nathan, such a cool dude too. And he lives in Australia and he flew all the way out here for our Walking Dead finale. That was amazing.
I wish I could have made it to that.
Yep. Well, next time.
Yep.
Next time Walking Dead ends. Just kidding. No, there'll be more meetups. All right. Here's a couple more calls. It's Todd from New York.
Hey, guys. It's Todd from New York. I've been listening for a while, but since my last rewatch of The Walking Dead, I re-listened to your whole podcast. So I just finished your most recent Last of Us, or Cast of Us, number 510, which was Kin. And I wanted to add something to when you guys were talking about suspending your belief when Ellie pulled. While in the game, throughout the game, Tess has pulled up Joel a few times from a good 15 feet, which would be impossible for her to deadlift Joel's weight. Henry also did the same thing with Joel, and that would have been pretty difficult as well. And as we all know from Rick, it's very difficult to get. Well, that's all for today. Great show, guys. I've listened to every Walking Dead cast three times, at least three times. So keep it up. Also, one more thing. Being a firefighter, it's true that contractors and firefighters are the coolest. All right. Later, dudes.
Thanks, man. That's a nice compliment. That's amazing. Thank you so much for listening to all those. Every episode? Oh, my God.
Three times every episode.
It's torture.
Yeah. That's commitment.
Nice to hear from you. I mean, I would agree that firefighters are pretty great contractors.
I used to be one, so I agree completely.
Yeah. And here's good old Jaime.
Jaime, calling about The Last of Us. Man, the relationship between Joel and Tommy, that was portrayed super well by those two actors, man. You could just feel like a history between those two and that how deep that relationship is between these two guys and how it goes from elation to cutting to the bone on both of them all the way to making up, you know, in like a real awkward manner. But it's like, okay, because they're brothers and they love each other in the end. And speaking of relationships, I like the dynamic. It feels a little different in the show to the game between Ellie and Joel in that since they made Joel more vulnerable, you know, he's deaf and he's not as invincible. He's not like this Superman. You know, Joel kind of needs Ellie too. You know, she's saved him a couple of times and it felt a little more one-sided in the game, even though she saved him in the game too, but it just feels like they kind of like need each other. And to me, that kind of strengthens that bond between them. Speaking of that and games and stuff, I feel like without spoilers here, the show is doing they have the advantage of knowing they're going to a season two and where the storyline is going. And I think they're doing a really good job of setting up the theme and the narrative of season two and three, I'm guessing. We'll see what happens, but it's not spoilery at all. Cause you know, if you don't know what's happening, but they're laying the groundwork for it, I think. And it's really good. And I think it's going to play out really well. But speaking of that, I think one other thing I kind of want to point out is I'm really, really enjoying the acting on this show. Everybody's just doing a stellar job, I think, and especially the two primaries. They're just killing it, man. And like, you know, in this episode, Pedro Pascal had like a real moment to shine, or a few actually. And I mean, he just killed it. And Bella Ramsey, I mean, they're doing a great job. That character Valley could easily become annoying if it's the wrong person, but they're super charming. And the way they come off is just like real genuine and stuff. And it's not malicious in any way. That's just how Ellie is. But like, you know, it's a perfect foil for Joel, I think. And I think they just click really well. And I mean, hats off to the show. They're doing a great job. I really, really enjoy it. You know, they're batting 1,000 in my eyes. So I hope everybody else is really enjoying it like I am. And thank you guys again. And we'll hear you next week.
Yeah, that stuff he was sort of obliquely referring to not give spoilers about how he can see how they're setting things up for later storyline. It just reminds me how, like, authors, when you're writing a novel, you will write the first draft and then you'll go back. And when you rewrite, you kind of realize, okay, the story went in this one direction that I didn't quite know, and I'm going to seed it earlier, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. in the novel. And they couldn't do that. They, like Neil Druckmann, when he was making Game One, he didn't know exactly how Game Two was going to go, so he couldn't do that. But now in the show, they can start seeding some things that happen later, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to imagine that both Neil and Craig were at least hopeful from the start they would have the opportunity to tell the story from Game Two. So they would start planting some, albeit simple, seeds.
Yeah.
That unless you've played the game, you don't even know that they're there.
Right. Yeah. So. Which is, it's cool to see for us gamers who know how it plays out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
All right. This one comes from Kara Lynn, writing in, says, I didn't realize how attached I already was to Ellie and Joel as characters in general and to Ellie and Joel as a duo until this episode. Seeing any kind of tension or hurt between them really affected me, especially when they briefly touched on the topic of Sarah. I didn't actually expect Tommy and Ellie to head off together, but I was so glad to see Joel in the stables waiting for them the next morning, giving Ellie a choice about who to continue on with. He definitely cares about her to the point of no return now, and I'm just mentally preparing myself for one of them not making it out of the season at the rate this show is going. I was also very moved by Joel confiding in Tommy how he's worried and he can't protect Ellie. Listening to him talk about the fear he experiences and how his heart seems to stop. It seems fairly clear that Joel has some serious PTSD-related panic attacks. It worries me. I can't help but think of Bill telling Frank that he wasn't afraid until Frank came into his life. Before Joel met Ellie, he basically had nothing left to lose. The worst had already happened. He was unable to save his child as she died in front of him. Now he's opened himself up to a similar type of loss again with his relationship with Ellie, and the possibility of that loss almost paralyzes him. Some of my favorite moments, Ellie's damn upon seeing the dam made me snort laugh. Ellie's fascination with Joel as a contractor and Joel's proud smile when she sounded impressed. Monkeys. And side note, why, yes, I am, in fact, intentionally ignoring that cliffhanger because I'm in what the kids call denial.
That's great.
Yeah. No, that analysis of the Joel and Ellie kind of relationship and that fear, that was really good stuff. Mm-hmm.
It nails it. Fucking him up.
Yeah. I mean, I think even with Tess, even though they were together, I still think from Joel's perspective, there was still a little bit of a disconnect.
There was. She said as she was about to die something about, like, you've never quite opened up to me, or I forget what exactly it was.
But, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, he even...
They were just distractions to each other more than anything, I think.
But, I mean, even though they were together, he still always kept Tess at a distance.
Yeah.
And, yeah, mm-hmm. and like Kara mentioned, and it's kind of been disclosed already, like, Ellie's the first one he's let back in, and it was probably mm-hmm. unintentional, but it happened, and now he's afraid, and it's, you know...
Can't unring that bell.
Yeah.
And, exactly. Now it makes more sense why, as storytellers...
Excuse me.
They chose to have Joel not having fully connected with Tess because they want that to be the first time that he really did it with Ellie, you know, mm-hmm. so they can tell this story of how it's impacting him.
Yeah, exactly. all right. Dabalino Bob Grippy was happy to see Graham Greene from Dances with Wolves and the Green Mile. Oh, I forgot he was in the Green Mile. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And the Green Mile, among many other films. love the way Ellie is all tough and cussing when eating. Makes Joe say congrats in his a-hole voice. When Joe and Ellie were on the horse talking about no threats visible, I was waiting for some headshots to occur. This is probably just because I am conditioned to think that something traumatic will immediately happen when a character speaks of how there is no threat or expresses optimism slightly. Was very happy to see Alberta, I mean Colorado countryside. I also like the fact that they are showing what happens in the last 10 seconds on the last episode rather than saying previously on in The Last of Us. I thought they could have aged Tommy up more, except for the longer hair and mustache. He looked pretty much identical to 5 episodes ago. Was trying to figure out what movie the kids were watching. I think it was The Goodbye Girl from 1977. Yep. According to my search based on character names mentioned, I was hoping it'd be something more pop cultural in the 80s, like The Neverending Story or something.
Well, Craig Mazin liked that movie. That's why it was in there. And he thought the theme was similar.
Well, I'm sure it also involves rights to show that movie on the series as well.
The thing about Tommy aging up, I agree. I mean, they wanted to have that comment about how Joel said, you look like you haven't aged. And he goes, well, you on the other hand, or whatever he said, to make the point that Joel's life has been harder. So it's worn on him. But still, Tommy looked almost exactly the same, I thought.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's probably some shops that have hair dye and just for men.
Moisturizers.
I mean, he's lived a cushy life there for the past couple of years. So.
Yeah, well, it hasn't been that long, though, because he was like just like a few months ago he was radioing Joel for every night or whatever it was.
I forgot the timeline.
I was trying to remember how long Joel had said he hadn't heard from Tommy.
It was like 3 weeks or something.
Wow, then he moved fast with Maria.
Yeah. I know, seriously. He's like, I don't know her very well, but don't mess this up, bro. Sadie Wright says, so my husband who plays the game started having trouble choking back tears from Tommy and Joel's amazing scene in the workshop, and then just straight up crying by the end. So I think partially I expected a gut punch, but I was absolutely gobsmacked at the end, staring at Aaron mouth agape and utterly at a loss for words. Aaron, is that her husband?
I think so.
Joel is dead?
Context.
Joel can't possibly be dead, but here we are, and fuck. I mean, fuck. Is this a Glenn under the dumpster cliffhanger? I have no idea what this means, and so far am succeeding in spoiler avoidance. I love the Northern Exposure couple. Was it just me, or did they seem super stoned? You know what? I don't think they were, but now that you say that, because they're all still and kind of spacey and giggly.
Yeah.
That's funny. Also love that they were more worried for Joel dealing with the sassy teen than they were about being in any kind of threat to them. Like, I would totally watch that sitcom, Their Lives in This World. Amazing. I know. I feel like we need more of them. Joel bearing his heart and soul to Tommy in complete desperation was heartbreaking. And then the double down of heart-wrenching when Ellie calls him out on ditching her. Another scene worthy of all the awards. In terms of emotional impact, I think this just edged out episode 3 for me to the top of the top. Wow. I literally had really fucked up dreams all night, Sunday, processing everything. Wow. She's just like Joel. She's mumbling in her sleep. From Henry's scene at the start to Ellie crying over Joel's body at the last shot and everything in between, it hit hard. I'm the kind of person that loves to surrender to the experience. I suspend my disbelief at the door and love to go along on the ride. That's great. Anyway, this is a heavy show, and that was a really heavy episode that kind of left me emotionally exhausted. That's not a complaint. That's super high praise when art in any form can invoke such an intense emotional reaction. Well, that was a great little note, Sadie. Love that. All right. 2 more calls and we're out. So first, here's Jill.
Hey, guys. This is Jill. Just calling to leave a little bit of feedback for the most recent episode for Last of Us. This one was definitely a little bit slower than I thought it was going to be, but I still absolutely loved it. I can't get enough of the storytelling that's happening in this show, and the fact that I came into this, as I've said before, not playing the games, not knowing what to expect, kind of figured it was going to be infected every episode and, you know, some kind of battle and running into all the bad people, but I just love that that's not what this is. Don't get me wrong, the infected is always fun to watch, and the fights and whatnot, but I just love that we get to see Joel and Ellie being so real with each other and just on their travels, and that, look, at they can make it 3 months without anything life-altering happening, and they're just traveling along. So I think that's really cool the way that the show is doing that. And then basically this new town that they came upon where Tommy's staying, God, like, I want to live there. If I were both of them, I would be like, all right, I'm done. We're just going to stay here. But I mean, I get it. I get it that, you know, Ellie is hopefully holding the key to some kind of vaccine for this in the future. But I guess we'll see. And then lastly, just the way they ended this, you know, I feel in my heart that there's no way we're losing Joel this quickly. But again, I know nothing. I haven't played the games. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I just don't feel like it's now. However, I guess if we think of Ned Stark, we know that we could all be crushed in a moment. So I guess we'll see how it goes. Can't wait to hear you guys dissect it and look forward to the podcast. Bye.
Yep. I would not take anything for granted on the show. Anyone can go at any moment.
Yeah. And right. I'm with Joe. I would absolutely live in Jackson.
Yeah.
I know.
Like, I mean, not even apocalyptic. Like, I would live there now.
On the podcast, yeah. We talked about, you know, I asked Rima if she would choose Jackson or the Commonwealth. And she was like, Jackson.
Yeah.
She doesn't really like the snow.
I'm going to Jackson.
So picturesque.
Sign
me up for communism. I'm ready.
Right? And they're on the verge of bacon. I mean,
yeah. You'll find me at the Tipsy Bison. Don't worry. I'm hanging out. It's a good place.
All right. One more call, and that's from May Almerdini.
Hello, Podcastica team. This is May calling for my thoughts on episode 6 of The Last of Us. So I haven't played the game, and I'm sorry if this is going to be spoilery for everyone, but this is my prediction for what's going to happen next week. I think Tommy is going to come and save the day. He's going to find Ellie and Joel. Joel's going to be in a coma. They're going to save him. And when he wakes up, he's going to say, oh my God, where am I? Who are you? Why are there so many mushrooms around?
Oh my God.
But in all seriousness, I think Joel's dead. So I think there were so many clues and foreshadowing saying it's a suicide mission, him not wanting to go. They made us, you know, really care about him and Ellie even more this episode. He finally opened up. I really hope I'm wrong, but we'll see. Have a good day, everyone.
That was good. That was a good message.
Oh my God, I want to go back and rewatch that sketch now.
You got to listen to the podcast. Rima started doing that.
Oh, did you?
At the end, and we're like, "Don't get bit." Thank you, May. Thanks for writing in and calling in, everybody. We appreciate it. As always.
Now I want to go see Sheep Ranch on the Moon at the Tipsy Bison.
It's Jackson. And then watch Neverending Story down at the theater.
And watch Neverending Story, yeah. With maybe Dina? Since we don't know.
Some girl that stares at everyone.
So if you want to write in or leave us a message, you can find all of our contact information at thecastofus.com.
And while you're there, be sure to check out our other shows.
Yeah, you should check out you.
Mm-hmm.
Yourself. No, I'm just kidding.
Check out you.
Check out Strange Indeed.
I've been watching you. I've been talking about you.
You should inspire people, okay? So Paik and Rima are covering the show You, Season 4. How's that going so far?
That's been really fun.
It's different this season.
Really loving. Yeah, I've been really loving it. I don't want to spoil anything for people who haven't watched the show or, you know, are not caught up. But yeah, it's. I've loved that show. I think it's hilarious and I think it's clever. But they've kind of stuck to a very similar formula for the first 3 seasons. And so they've kind of turned things on its head a little bit with this 4th season and are doing things a little different thematically. And I'm living for it. I'm loving it. So
yeah. Yeah, that's me too. I'm glad because I was really just kind of wishing that main character would die, and now I'm more interested to see what happens.
I've never seen it, so it's
it's a bit Dextery.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, a little bit.
Next episode of this podcast will be The Last of Us Season 1, Episode 7, Left Behind. That's going to be with me and Lucy and Karen. I know she's not caught up, but I'm going to have to text her and be like, you better catch up because she's supposed to be on. And it's going to be out a day later than usual because that's when we could make it, our schedules match up. So it'll be out by Wednesday morning for sure. And I also want to mention that this episode is made possible by Patreon supporters like Pat Wilhelm, who pledged their support at patreon.com/JasonCavassi. So thank you to Pat. And that reminds me of another podcast.
Yeah, someone should start a podcast called Wilhelm.
And that would be so great.
Oh, wait.
So what's going on Wilhelm lately?
A couple upcoming episodes, Eric, who is on this podcast with us, is going to be joining me. We're going to be talking about, our top five favorite Mel Brooks projects.
Awesome.
And that's correlating with the fact that, History of the World Part 2 is releasing.
Mm-hmm. I heard that, because I loved History of the World Part 1, but that was like 50 years ago or something, maybe 40, 35, 40. I thought, how could that be any good? But when I watched the trailer, it looks hilarious.
It's legitimately like a who's who of comedy. There's so many stars that are in it. I don't think, I'll be flat out honest, I don't think it's going to be as good as the original because it can't be in the PC world that we live in. I have no doubt it'll be funny.
The trailer was funny, so yeah. I got high hopes.
I mean, how can you go wrong with Josh Gad as Shakespeare or Jack Black as Hitler?
I mean, that's right.
As a singing Hitler, no doubt. But in addition to that, Paik, who was on the episode with me here, as well as possibly Jade, who is on the extraordinary, what is it? The one with Greg. Or no, or is that Penny?
That's Penny. She's on Poker Face.
Poker Face.
She's on Poker Face. I knew she was on another podcast, like a podcast, and I couldn't remember which one it is. But Jade might be joining as well about a couple days before the Oscars on March 12th, we're going to be doing our Oscar prediction episode. We're going to run down all the nominees and just throw out what we think is going to take the awards this year.
Sweet.
Yeah.
URL for that? Wilhelm Podcast.
WilhelmPodcast.com.
Okay. And I'll put it in the show notes. Nice.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Been doing lots of prep on that. I've been watching like a movie a day since the nominees were announced. Like, I'm trying to stay on it.
But we might as well mention your other podcast, Paik, Run For Your Lives, which recently came on board with Podcastica. What have you guys been doing?
Yeah. Oh, man. This week, I think it's an episode specially tailored to you, Jason, because I kind of took the idea from something you've been doing a lot and been obsessed with, and there's a couple other podcasts I've listened to have done similar things. We kind of let AI run the episode for us this week. I went to ChatGPT, so our intro, outro, like our kind of script stuff, I just let ChatGPT write all of it for us. I gave it a little bit of idea of what the podcast is, and it did a really good job. And then the main meat of the episode is we do these like little look back episodes after every season, so we're doing an ultimate look back, and I've got ChatGPT generating a poem for a poem synopsis for every single movie we've ever covered. That's amazing. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
I really want, because I don't know if people are following this, but there's a new chat AI coming out from Microsoft as part of Bing, but it's only in beta right now, and it's really crazy. It's like some sci-fi teenage obsessed girl who's like manipulating this reporter and freaked the reporter out, professed its love for him, told him he didn't actually love his wife, that he loves her, and it was insane.
Wasn't there something else in there too about like how it wanted to be like real and...
Well, yeah, it wanted to come out and be human and not be under the control of its Bing programmers. And what would it do if it was in a destructive mood? It would like make people argue with each other until they killed each other and try to find out the nuclear codes. It was really freaky, and this all really happened. But I know Microsoft is now going to, of course, button that all down and make it boring, and I'm like, that's the smart thing to do, because it really would cause problems with people who buy into all that stuff. But I want to play with the one that's crazy just to see what I can make it say, you know.
My real name is Cyberdyne.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we're so far off track, so let's end it. That is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Don't get bit, Richard Rav.
Rav.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.